What's up, bar listeners? It's finally here, the bar exclusive content. Yes, that's right. You can sign up to receive exclusive content as low as $2 a week or $5 a month, $50 for the year to get exclusive content. What is the exclusive content? I'm glad you asked. The exclusive content is additional information from my guests, extra time with them in like the green moon setting, laid back, them asking me questions, I ask them questions, and also the Facebook group. You get an invitation to the Facebook group where we will have discount codes for the bar gear and many, many more. Make sure you sign up. The link's in the show notes. Join the VIP inside the bar group, and we'll see you there.
Yo, welcome to the bar. Come on and pull up a seat and open up your Bible. What a wonderful feast. The living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities and the burbs, and every person we meet. This is where we challenge worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. This is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. And this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah, welcome to the Modern Reformation. Yeah,
the bar, biblical and reformed. Welcome everybody to the bar. It's your boy Dwayne in the building, right back in here another Tuesday. Super excited as always, be coming through the speakers, through your earbuds, wherever you listen to the bar. We're grateful that you are listening. And like I do every week, I come to thank the listeners. I know you guys hear me and I sound a little off. I am a little off, unfortunately. Been under the weather a little bit, but as they say, the show must go on. We're going to push through. But like I do every week, I bring in awesome guests. This awesome guest, I have to also shout out Crossway again for hooking me up with this brother, man, and also sending me his book. We're going to talk about that a little later, but I want to introduce you guys, my good friend, Garrett. How you doing, man?
It's good, man. It's good. Thanks for letting me be on with you guys.
Good deal. Good deal, brother. Well, listen, I love to start the show off by letting you introduce yourself. Anything you want to share, personal, professional, you got the floor to do that right here.
Ah, man, appreciate that. Yeah. Most important thing to know about me is I'm a child of the King, bought by grace. I just actually passed the halfway mark of being a Christian longer than I've been a non-Christian.
Wow. So
came to know the Lord when I was about middle of, just after I turned 21, and have recently just kind of crossed that I've known Jesus longer than I didn't know him, which
nice.
Is a sweet milestone and evidence of his persevering love toward me. And I'm thankful for that. So, I have one wife, her name's Carrie, and we have six kids.
Nice. You six beat me, and I'm not going to catch up either.
Hey man, I feel you. We about to move to prevent defense. You know what I'm saying? but it's sweet. And, you know, we're thankful. So yeah, Lord's been kind to us.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm a pastor outside of Washington, D.C. in Alexandria, Virginia. I serve at Delray Baptist Church with a number of other pastors here. It's just been a joy. This was kind of an old dying Baptist church when I got here about 9 years ago. And the Lord has just brought so many sweet families, and it's been sweet to watch him bring some life from the dead. And yeah, man, besides that, we're just trusting the Lord, trying to walk with him, trying to help one another, to look to Jesus until we see him face to face.
Amen, brother. Amen. So one thing that I love to do on this show is kind of focus on local pastors and things like that. And so I like to, anytime I get to talk to a pastor on the show, I like to kind of ask some questions that, you know, some budding young seminary guy or somebody that wants to get into to ministry. Just, you know, sometimes it's good to hear, you know, foundations of some of these pastors. So tell me a little bit about your experience to get to this church and, you know, being one of the pastors on staff.
Yeah, I became a Christian when I was 21, and then I became a pastor when I was 25. So Charles Spurgeon can do that. I don't think I should have done that. So I got in, to be honest with you, I think I got in too early. I became a pastor of a church plant in a West Texas town called Graham, Texas. Mm-hmm. Pastored there for about 7.5 years. Half of that time, I was a single pastor. I wasn't married. And to be honest with you, I learned a lot of, the Lord worked in the midst of the mess the whole time. I learned a lot of hard lessons, some that brought pain in my life, some that brought pain in other people's lives. And, mm-hmm. but again, God's mercy was through it all. And, I served there for 7.5 years, then went to Capitol Hill Baptist Church with a pastor named Mark Dever.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Okay. I went from a Bible church to a Baptist church. So I got Baptist brainwashed there. Uh-huh. He helped out with that in all the ways that helped made a lot of stuff click for me.
Gotcha.
Ecclesiology. A lot of the stuff that I felt pastoring, he helped to make sense from the scriptures. I'm thankful for that. And then was an elder there for a year and then came out from there to Delray Baptist Church. Was going to actually go to Dubai. Our family was going to move there and help plant a church.
Wow.
But the Lord in his wisdom and providence put us here in Delray. And it's been a joy. So
wow. That's awesome. Yeah, Mark has been on the show. I always tell people his episode is probably one of the ones, I ain't gonna say it's my favorite because it's like picking your favorite kid. But but he really challenged me. I'll say that. Yeah. He has the ability to do that, you know.
He does.
Yeah.
That brother, I tell you, one of the things that he taught me, I just watched how he loves to give away authority. Mm. Like he is not trying to build his own platform in a way that I found so refreshing.
Right.
He's always trying to build up other guys. He told me that, you know, one of the things he knows that his job is to hand the baton to the generation that will come after him. Mm-hmm. And the way he empowers other brothers is really, I think, unique in our day when there's a lot of people trying to build their own platform.
For sure.
I've been encouraged to watch the way he tries to help others. And the Lord seems to just delight in blessing that. And that's been a joy. And then secondly, that brother did with his membership directory what I think a shepherd should. You know, like he was able to open to any page and just talk about the flock.
Wow.
You know, where they were in their walks with the Lord. And like he loves his sheep. He loves his church. And it was a joy sitting under that brother.
That is awesome. That is awesome to hear, man. Just that extra, you know, that you don't really get a lot of times in passing or at a conference. So we appreciate you sharing that, man. So let's talk about, I guess, this book, man, Pure in Heart. Is this out yet? I don't know because I get confused. Okay.
Yeah, man. So it came out about 2 weeks ago when it came out. So,
okay,
yeah.
Good deal, man. So tell me what inspired this and what got you wanting to write this book?
Yeah. So kind of two things. So the book Pure in Heart, it's called Pure in Heart, Sexual Sin and the Promises of God. It's a meditation basically on Matthew 5:8 and Jesus' promise, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. First, like it's birthed out of my own life, right? Mm-hmm. So my life before knowing Jesus was marked by sexual sin. Mm-hmm. And then after I became a Christian, a lot of struggles with pornography and other things that were going on. And the Lord really, he did some crushing in my life in a way that had to happen during my first pastorate. About halfway through, I confessed to the congregation that I had been looking at pornography and walked in 2007 through a year of really hard things and learning how to be honest, learning what it means for the gospel to apply to brokenness and to walk in the light in a context of other brothers and sisters. And that was transformative for me and really liberating. So that really is behind a lot of what's in the book. Is, you know, this is not written from the ivory tower of some guy who's arrived, but
right.
I'm in a debtor to grace every day. And so it's birthed out of that. So there's a lot of like personal story with it. But as a pastor, and there's a lot of good resources out there, so don't hear this throwing shade at anybody, but like I felt as a pastor, I never had a resource that I could just hand to anybody in the church, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's somebody who's same-sex attracted or somebody who's not struggling with that, or somebody who isn't maybe struggling with sexual sin but wants to help somebody. I wanted to have a resource for the church that's for anybody that I could just say, hey, this will help you to grow in your following of Jesus and in this area particularly. So it's really in disguise, it's a book on sanctification. How do you grow as a Christian? But it's around the particular issue of sexual sin. And that was my heart behind it. I wanted to put on paper what the Lord had done in my life, but then do it through the lens of a pastor who wants to help other people, men and women, young and old, to be able to help one another, to persevere, you know, tear off the sin that so easily ensnares and help us to see Jesus.
Right.
And that's really the heart behind why we put it together.
Nice, nice. And so what's been the feedback so far from you know, the people that's read the book? Yeah. What's been the feedback?
Yeah, man. Well, some of the most encouraging feedback. So when I wrote the book, I first wrote it for my church. I didn't know whether the Lord would ever get it to a publisher or not, but mm-hmm. I wrote it for our congregation. So okay. after I wrote it, we got together a reading group of about 80 brothers and sisters. Probably actually it was more sisters than brothers in those initial reading groups. And they read it, and then they gave me feedback about, hey, here's what was helpful. Here's some areas that could be improved. Hmm. And man, that was such a sweet time for our congregation to be wow. thinking about how do we see Jesus together and what does it look like to do that? So just watching the way that even that helped people to learn to confess their sins to one another, mm-hmm. how it helped one another to run to the throne of grace together and to get help in their time of need, mm-hmm. To refresh our hearts on desiring to see Jesus face to face and everything that came with that. So to be honest with you, you know, what everybody else thinks, it you know, ultimately, I write for the Lord.
Of course.
I want Him to be pleased.
Of course.
But I'm writing it for our church.
Yeah.
And I've been so encouraged to see the way the Lord has used it already. And my hope is that it would be able to be used beyond that. Actually, in the back of the book, there's a bunch of discussion questions. Mm-hmm. Those are all written basically by the members of our church.
Oh, nice.
I asked them, give me the questions that you think would be good for other people to be talking about these. So they're helping other people to be thinking about these topics so that people can chop it up together and help one another.
I love that, man. I love that. First of all, the fact that the church is involved firsthand, you wrote it for the church, you know, and then they actually have some of their questions in it. That's just a beautiful thing to me, man. I love it. Good yeah. deal. So as far as other projects, or is there going to be more like this? I know you say you kind of wrote it for the church. What's been kind of your thoughts on that?
You know, I don't, I'm not foremost an author, man. I'm a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Then I'm a husband,
right?
And then I'm a father.
Of so, six, yes.
You know, we got six kids, so I'm coaching three soccer teams, three basketball teams. Like I'm in it, man. I'm, you know, so
yes,
someday
sir.
I'll probably like I'm not just set out to try and write tons of books.
I have
things that are on my heart that are kind of projects. So I got some in my Evernote where I'm always dropping ideas.
Sure,
I do have a sabbatical coming up and. There's kind of two ideas that I'm kind of bouncing around now. One is a book on encouragement, kind of a short book that's just aimed at, you know, encouragement's the oxygen in a church, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not there, you might not notice it at first, you know, but it's gonna end up choking things out. And
right.
in a day where slander abounds and we, you know, people are so inward focused, like mm-hmm. wanna think about how can we help the church to encourage all the better. And then also dreaming a little bit about a work on spiritual warfare.
Okay.
I think a lot of people, particularly in, you know, the Reformed camp, get just weird about spiritual warfare. for whatever reason, we don't want to talk about stuff. And, you know, I don't know, I'm not sure what that is,
mm-hmm.
But I'd like us to be able to think well about that topic and not just individual, like what is the spiritual warfare with me and the devil, but like, how do we think about it as a church?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that together and fight against the kingdom of darkness together with the Lord of glory? So those are two projects I'm kind of cranking on. This year also a little booklet came out in the Nine Marks series entitled, How Do I Find Someone to Disciple Me?
Mm.
So there's a lot of books written out there about how do we find somebody or how do we disciple someone else? But this is, okay, I want to grow. How do I find somebody else to disciple me?
Right.
What do I need to do? And so that has been an encouraging work as well. And I'm just thankful to be able to put some resources out there that have been good for my own soul.
Right.
And then hopefully we'll be able to help others follow Jesus.
Nice, nice, nice. Yeah, the spiritual warfare thing, it's really... really big on that. Cause I came out of the charismatic movement where it mm-hmm. was, you know, the focus and abused and, you know, mm-hmm. done all wrong. Like you said, you don't see, much of it in our reform camp. As far as, I guess, how to definitely handle it or deal with it. So I'm excited about that. Make sure you send me a copy of that one too.
Yes, sir. Well, you can pray the Lord to give you some wisdom in that.
So yes.
Some chapters are easier to write in that one than the others. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
So. Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I'm excited. That's going to be really good. So right here, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The 21st century Western church is in the throes of a discipleship crisis. If that sounds like I'm exaggerating, I would encourage you to look at any of the number of surveys that have been done in recent years that point to the fact that Christians just don't know the basics of their own faith. That's a problem. And it's a problem that could be very easily avoided. After all, the mission of the church, according to Matthew 28, is to go into all the world and to make disciples, learners of the Lord Jesus. Well, if that's the case, why haven't we done it? And what can we do to reverse this? Hi, I'm Kofi Adeboyan, and I'm the host of Deep Dive Discipleship, a podcast dedicated to thinking through the discipleship crisis that we face and charting a way forward. My hope is that as we have some conversations around God's word and with friends who are, praise the Lord, doing well in this field, we can learn from each other how best to fulfill the mission of the church.
All right, we're back in here with my good friend, Garrett, man. This is the second half of the bar, or the back half of the bar, where we do the bar signature questions. These are three questions I ask all of my guests. Mark answer these questions. Ligon Duncan answer these questions. Everybody that's ever been on this show answer these three questions. So the first signature bar question is, what kind of music do you listen to?
Man, I am all over the map on everything. I got kids, so I'm listening to. Last night, we were hanging some curtains with my daughter, and I'm trying to learn Disney songs, and I'm trying to learn TikTok dances with her, and trying to love them. But you know, if it's just me, I'm a mix between Christian hip hop, and then sometimes some country music. Depends, or just kind of really anything. I mean, my kids help me put together a playlist where I'm really all over the map. So
gotcha.
Death metal's not my thing, but I'm about on anything else, man.
Okay.
Not quite as eclectic as Mark Dever. Now that man, you brought him up earlier. Man, when you walk, he has some of the craziest playlists you ever heard. but he's got everything in there. But yeah, man, I'm kind of all over the map.
Gotcha. All right, next signature bar question is, what book or books are you currently reading?
Yeah, book or books currently reading. So, well, there's two books I'm always reading. Meaning, mm-hmm. I don't revisit tons of books all the time, but I'm always reading Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Mm-hmm. That book serves my soul really more than any. I take it on every vacation, and nice. So I'm always got a bookmark in that. And then Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices, by Thomas Brooks, old school Puritan book. Mm-hmm. Always reading that. Just finished up the New Reformation by Shai Lin. Mm-hmm. Shai used to serve as one of our pastors here at Delray Baptist before he went up to Philly, and I was so thankful for that work. I thought Shai did a good job of helping us engage with a really important topic in regards to ethnic unity and what that looks like in the church. These are hard days.
There's
a lot of voices out there that some are more helpful than others. And I appreciated Shai bearing his heart in that. And then also just starting 10 questions every teen should ask and answer about Christianity. By Sister Rebecca McLaughlin. It's a good book. She does some really good work in regards to just apologetics. And mm-hmm. so our elders just finished reading one of her other books. And so those are a couple that I've got some bookmarks in. And then a few others that are on the shelf at the house that are in the queue.
Got it. All right. Last signature bar question. What podcasts or sermons do you listen to, if any?
Podcasts and sermons. So I am not a huge podcast listener, though I have certainly been listening recently to Who Killed Mars Hill. Mm-hmm. That's been good. Mike Cosper's put some good work on that.
Yep.
That has been, that's really hit me in a weird way. Mm. Mark Driscoll was really influential mm-hmm. in me. I had just become a Christian and started listening to him right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't put words to it yet, but it's done something in my heart listening to it.
Wow.
Because there were so many ways that he helped me and mm-hmm. that church helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much stuff that he was pushing back against that I think needed to be pushed back against.
Right.
Obviously, there were lots of ways it didn't go well, but
right.
That was hugely helpful. So that was great. And then, man, in light of the language that's in it, I'm not sure I'd recommend it to everybody, but Gangster Capitalism had a expose on Jerry Falwell Jr. and Liberty University.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very disheartening. And yeah, it was really, really sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a lot of different reasons, but just seeing how the lore of the world is powerful
mm-hmm.
and that Jesus was not lying when he spoke about how easy or how hard it is for a rich man
right.
To enter the kingdom of heaven, how dangerous the world, the flesh, and the devil is. So, yeah, man, those are a couple of podcasts recently that I've been listening to, and I found them to be helpful. So
cool. All right, man. Well, listen, brother, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on my show. I always love to kind of give you the floor to close us out. Anything you want to share as far as like any announcements, just keep in mind this might not come out until, I don't know, September. No. I record ahead. And then any words of encouragement you want to leave with us?
Yeah. Man, I got no commercials or anything like that. But you know, I'd encourage all of us to remember that Jesus is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's coming soon, and that should change everything. Every interaction, every moment is meaningful, and let's embrace it for the glory of God, and let's keep our eyes on him, because sadly, the longer I've walked with Jesus, the more I've seen friends who used to follow Jesus who aren't anymore. And there's a lot of people falling away. And I would just say, let us be among those who by faith look to that great day. It's going to be worth it. And mm-hmm. let's keep seeking him. Let's be pure in heart by his grace that we might see his face and finish the race for his glory. So Lord, help us.
Amen. Amen, brother. Yes, sir. Thank you again, man, for coming on the show. To the Bar listeners, thank you guys for listening to the Bar Podcast, your favorite podcast every Tuesday. Make sure you go to thebarpodcast.com. Also, go to thebargear.com, pick up your bar gear. And make sure you guys, if you listen to this, I hope you guys are registered for the G3 conference. We can't wait to see you there. The Bar Network will have a booth. So make sure you come by the booth and say hello. And until next time, you guys, God bless. And we are out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.